Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to your FBD Holdings PLC half-yearly report 2014 presentation, hosted by Andrew Langford, CEO. My name is Benny, and I'll be your event manager this morning. Throughout the conference, remain on listen only. If you need assistance at any time during the call, please key star 0, and the coordinator will be pleased to assist you. And now, I'd like to hand it to Andrew Langford. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Benny. Good morning, everybody. As Benny has said, my name is Andrew Langford, and I'm the CEO of FBD Holdings. And I'm pleased to welcome you all here today to FBD's 2014 interim results presentation. I'm joined by Colin O'Cleave, our finance director. The running order today is that I will present slides 1 to 10 and 14 to 15 of our presentation, and Colin will go through slides 11 to 13. Then we'll open up for questions and answers, firstly from those who are present in the room today with us, and after that we'll take questions from those of you who are on the telephone. So I'd appreciate if anybody asking a question could please state their name and their organization before they start their question. So I will start straight in onto slide 2 of the presentation, and I'm going to just start by spending a couple of moments on the highlights of the first half of 2014 before going into some more detail on each area later on in the presentation. So in performance terms, the first thing to note is that FBD's business grew again in the first half of 2014, and the growth of the premium is up 5.1%, and that is very likely to lead to a further increase in our market share, probably to FBD's highest ever level. Our combined operating ratio for the first 6 months was 107%, driven by increased claims costs, and the two main factors behind that by the fact that we suffered severe and persistent weather claims of $44.3 million gross of reinsurance and $15.2 million net. As well as that, in the period, there has been a sharp increase in car insurance claims frequency. On the investment front, we delivered an annualized investment return for the first 6 months of 3%, which we believe is an excellent result in a low return environment, and that follows on from a very strong result in 2013. Our operating EPS is 14 cents, and our fully diluted EPS is 8 cents. In terms of the balance sheet and financial strength, our net asset value per share stands at 776 cents per share, up from 740 cents in 2013. Our reserving ratio, which is the ratio of our outstanding claims to our premium, is at 241%, up from 235% last year. And our solvency has strengthened to 73.4% of our net earned premium in FBD insurance. On the dividend front, there's good news in that our interim dividend has been declared at 17 cents per share, an increase of 8%, demonstrating that we are committed to a progressive dividend policy. In the period as well, we have made further progress in delivering on our strategic priorities and aligning FBD's business model to continue to meet the needs of existing and new customers. And this will allow us to deepen and broaden our customer reach, and I'll go into a couple of those initiatives in a little bit more detail later on. At the same time, the relationships with broker partners, particularly for commercial insurance, are developing well, and the business written through that customer segment is gaining momentum. And all in all, through the 6 months, we have continued our investment in a platform for growth. To move to slide 3, slide 3 and 4 describe the changes in our operating environment over the last 6 months. And firstly, on slide 3, we will deal with the changes in the Irish economy over that period. The Irish economy has accelerated by faster than we had anticipated 12 months ago or maybe even 6 months ago. This is a very welcome development, particularly after the peak trough decline in domestic demand of 20.4%, which is highlighted on by the graphic on the top right-hand side of slide 3, and there is no doubt that that is going to prove very positive for Irish companies like FBD in the medium term. The domestic demand forecast, which is also shown on the slide on the top right-hand side of slide 3, is forecast to grow by almost 3% now in 2014. The unemployment rate currently is 11.4%, which is reduced from 13% 12 months earlier, and consumer sentiment has hit a 5-year high. Of particular relevance to our business, particularly our motor insurance, is the fact that the retail sales of auto fuels, which are the best gauge by far of insurable motor risk, is up almost 9%, 8.8% a year year-on-year, far exceeding expectations. And the slide on the bottom right-hand side of that page shows that increase. The slide, in its bullet form, the rise in recent times is somewhat masked by the dramatic reduction between 08 and 12, but there's a small insert in that slide which shows just how strong the increase in the sales of petrol and diesel has been over the last 12 months. Those figures are further exacerbated by increases, or further corroborated by increases in new vehicle registrations, with registrations of cars of 30% year-to-date, and heavy goods vehicles of 44%, and light commercial vehicles of 46%. On slide 4 there, then we move to the evolution in the insurance industry. And it's quite encouraging in that the Irish insurance market premium income for the 6 months appeared to have stabilised after 11 successive years of decline. The graphic on the bottom left-hand side of slide 4 shows how the industry has evolved over the last 11 years and also shows that we predict that by the end of this year, premium will be flat or marginally up. On the profitability side, which is shown by the graph on the top right-hand side of slide 4, we can see that the industry combined ratio, and this is using figures recently released by Insurance Ireland, the industry combined operating ratio on average for the 3 years, 2011 to 2013, is 102%. If we were to look at that graph for the car insurance industry, that the combined operating ratio on average for the last 3 years was 112%. And those figures would be reasonably acceptable if investment returns were far higher than they are, but certainly from an industry point of view, in the era of low returns, they are unacceptable underwriting returns. So as a result, there have been substantial car rate increases for car insurance in recent months, and on the bottom right-hand side of slide 4, we show some market intelligence that we carry out every 3 months, and it's carried out by an organisation called Consumer Intelligence, and that shows for 8 insurers, including FPD, which is the green line, and No Nonsense, which is the yellow line, it shows how the car insurance rates have evolved in the last 12 months. And it uses roughly 250 different profiles to make sure it's representative of the market. And what we can see is that there have been, particularly in the last 3 months, a number of our competitors have increased rates very, very sharply, which corroborates our own view around the increase in frequency. So what we're looking at there is increases only in the last 3 months of 14% from one substantial competitor and 11% from another. On the overall front, the market does remain competitive in relation to home insurance and the higher value business risk, although in other areas there has been some rate hardening. So to move on to slide 5, and as I said on the first slide, the main driver of our combined operating ratio in the first half has been our claims cost. So the next two slides deal with our claims cost. And firstly, to start from a market perspective, the claims environment for the first 6 months has been difficult. There has been severe and persistent weather, particularly in January and February, and the improving economy and particularly sales of fuel has led to a higher claims frequency. Around our own claim costs, our net claims incurred have increased by 17%, leading to a loss ratio of just under 80%, 79.5% for the period, although the loss ratio in Q1 was significantly higher because of the weather. There has been severe and persistent weather, as I said, in the first 6 weeks, and that has cost SPD 44.3 million growth, or 15.3 million net reinsurance. I'll talk about that in a little bit more detail in a moment. There has also been a sharp increase in the frequency of our own car insurance injury claims, and I'll talk about that on the next page. On the positive side, the large claims over 1 million, which were a feature of the first 6 months of last year, have reversed to norm. And of the three charts you see on page 5, the bottom left-hand side chart shows that reversion, which is positive. Just to deal with the weather and large claims, which has been the biggest feature of the 6 months results by far, it's important to state that the 2014 weather cost is the highest that the group has ever incurred, and by quite some margin. And why is that? And as a result of that, severe and persistent weather and large claims accounts for 26% of our net earned premium, as opposed to a 7-year average of 16.5%. And that is shown on the chart on the top. Right hand on the top right hand side of slide 5, and it can be seen that severe and persistent weather and ice change is significantly ahead of any period in the last 7 years. And that weather affected about 9,000 customers with a cost of $44 million. And I suppose it's worth reflecting on why the weather affected FPD so badly. I think the market has released some figures recently saying that the weather or part of the weather stint has cost the market $160 million. And firstly, it's the nature of the peril is the first thing to say. So that the weather claims in the first 6 or 7 weeks of the year were predominantly wind-related. And we are far more exposed by nature of the customers we insure, where their risks are, and even the geography, we are far more exposed than other insurers to that. And there were seven storms across Ireland in quick succession between late December last year and the 14th of February. And the eighth storm is Storm Dan. And we just show the impact of Storm Dan on the bottom right-hand side. And there's a heat map there which shows the areas in red are the areas where FPD has the highest exposure to storm risks. Okay, so that represents the value at risk we have for outbuildings. Okay, the highest value at risk we have by far is in Cork, which is obviously the very bottom one. In Tipperary, just above it to the right, is the second largest by far. And between them, they represent maybe 22 or 23% of our risk. Kerry and Limerick are fifth and sixth. And you can see where the storm tracked and it almost precisely matched the area where we are exposed to places. Okay? So that is what we're there for, and that's why our customers pay their premium. But it did result in a normally high cost, again, by the nature of where the storm hit and the nature of the peril compared to our competitors and compared to any previous occasion. Having said that, there is no doubt that over time that abnormally high weather cost will revert to norm. To move on then to Flight 6 and to talk about the other features on our claims graph, our attrition loss ratio, which is the green line on the analysis of our loss ratio chart, which is on the top right-hand side of Flight 6, has increased from 49% to just under 54%. It's the first increase since 2009, and the main driver of that increase is the fact that our car insurance claims frequency has increased due to stronger than expected economic recovery. We noted first the increase in the second half of last year. We had anticipated the increase and begun to price for it, but the increase began to come through in H2 2013. But further sharp increases came through in H1 2014. And if you look at the little graphic on the bottom right-hand side of slide 6, it shows how our car frequencies and volumes can see the sharp increases, particularly in the second quarter of this year. That increase has come across all of our customer profiles. So regardless of customer duration or the channel through which those customers came or the type of car they drive or whether they're male or female, pretty much the increase, the relative increase is uniform across the board, which leads us to believe that it's a market-wide activity-led increase rather than anything to do with a rating factor or a mix. As I said, I think that's probably corroborated by the fact that some of our competitors are making very sharp adjustments. In terms of those adjustments then and rating actions taken by FPD and others, in response to an anticipated higher level of activity in claims frequency and car insurance, we started to take rate action last July. And we took further rate action in October, February, April, May, June, and August, and we will be taking more in September and October. Despite those actions that we've taken, and I guess if you look at the amount of rate increases that you would expect over a year, I think the rate increases that we have put in are more than you would expect in a normal year. But despite that, our sales volume continues to rise. And our inbound call activity, which is mostly car-related, surged by 40% in the second quarter. So we are getting 40% more telephone calls than we did in the second quarter of last year, which would suggest that there is a market-wide adjustment underway. And there is, as we noted before, an inevitable lag between the benefit of rate increases that you put in and it's the time that takes on net earned premium and the cause and effect to be shown in claims. But I guess I can summarise what I said there by that graphic. So the increasing, the graphic on the bottom right-hand side of the page shows that the increasing activity has led to an increase in frequency, and that in turn has led to higher market rates. So just to move to premiums for a moment, on slide 7, we showed that our premiums have increased by 5.1% for the first quarter, or for the first half. And that growth, I'm pleased to say, has been achieved across all customer segments. So it hasn't come from one product or one type of customer. It's come from business rep to the FBD office, and from brokers, consumer no-nonsense, and I'll speak a little bit more detail about those in a moment. The makeup of that 5.1% is our average premium, and this is shown on the chart on the right-hand side of that page. Our policy volume is up 2%, which is a slower level of policy volume growth than we had in the second half of last year. And our average premium, which is a combination of average rate and cover mix, is up by 3.1%. And that's, our rate is up by 2.3%, and our mix is up 0.8% on average. So it's very likely that, as I said, the market flat is very likely that that would have led to a further increase in our market share again. And I'll show that, I'll show the market shares in a moment. And a very encouraging feature, I suppose, is that it is demonstrating that there has been a stabilization in cover and mix. And that, again, is another positive sign of economic stabilization and recovery. And if you look at the cover mix chart on the right-hand side of that page, you can see that for 6 or 7 consecutive periods, our customers were reducing what they had to insure by between 5% and 6% a year, which is a big headwind, whereas for the last 4 half years, it's either been flat or by about 1%. So I think that's a very good sign of economic stability across the whole range of classes of business. So just where has that come from? And on slide 8, we talk about each of our customer segments. So just for the sake of reminding people, on the bottom right-hand side, it shows our premium by customer segment at the end of the first half of the year. And maybe the first thing to note is that that is not very dissimilar from the split of premium by customer segment at the end of 2013. So I think that at full year 2013, our direct business was 22% and now 21%, broker was 9% and now 10%. So what that is demonstrating, I suppose, is that there's stability in our business, and our mix of business is not changing at a very fast pace, which is probably what is desirable. As I said on the previous slide, growth of 5.1% came from across all of our segments. And farm and business direct, which accounts for almost 70% of our business, we had a very strong performance. Our premium grew, and our policy count grew. And more encouragingly, the policies that we sold per customer increased. So we were selling more policies, whether that be car insurance policies to farmers or business people whose car we didn't have, or commercial vehicle or tractor, etc. So there's more policies per customer. On the business insurance side, and we have a very significant business insurance book, mostly euro-based, that's written directly, and that is stabilizing, which is a positive because that has gone through probably 4 or 5 years of decline as the domestic economy in those in rural areas was hit particularly hard. We have made continued investment to improve customer experience for these customers. I mean, we made investments like we have reduced substantially the amount of IVR that those customers go through because they don't like it. It costs a lot of money to make sure that you can answer telephone calls and people can get you to speak directly to somebody who can deal with them very fast. But we've made that investment because we believe that those people value it. And also, that has meant that we've provided capacity in our sales office network to make sure they have more time to deal with those customers and more time to make sure we're meeting as many of their needs as we can, and that's borne out by the fact we sold more policies for customers. In business through brokers, the vast majority of the business coming through that customer unit is still commercial, and the relationships with our broker partners are developing well. And brokers in total account for 20% of all of the new business taken in, and that is between commercial and personal lines. Rates are hardening for commercial insurance, and if you look at the Insurance Ireland figures in more detail, you can see that the liability market, which is mainly business insurance driven, has probably been underpriced for some time, and there are some positive effects, positive signs the rates are hardening in those areas, and our own rate increases are sticking, which I suppose corroborates that. In terms of plan insurance, we have modest enough targets to sell personal lines to brokers, and so we are delivering on those targets as we expected. On the consumer side, as I said, despite the fact that the rates that we are charging today are probably on average at least 11% higher than they were this time last year, we were still growing our volume in car insurance, which would lead you to believe that other people are putting through strong increases as well. Our home insurance accounts, and we are probably the second or third largest home insurer in the state, has reduced somewhat, and because we have continued to keep discipline our rates rather than reduce rates to what we believe are uneconomic by rates of some of our competitors. And we launched a new home insurance product in July, which is based around, it's a higher level product based on attracting customers who have been paying free for longer. On slide 9, we show our market share, and these are figures that have been released by Insurance Ireland since we released our interim results, and we can see that our own market share, we are the second largest player in the market at 13.6%, and as I said at the outset, it's very likely that we consolidate that number 2 position at the end of half one, and if anything, our market share is probably higher than 13.6%, given that our income grew by 5%, but the market is probably flat. To go move to our non-underwriting businesses, and first of all to deal with our financial services businesses, which include our premium installment finances that we charge customers of insurance, and also our FD Financial Solutions business, which sells life, pension and investment services and is the largest retail brokerage in Ireland, less the cost of the holding company in terms of stock exchange fees, director fees, etc. Those businesses together delivered an operating profit of margin less than last year, so 1.7 million versus 2.2 million in 2013. To move on then to our joint venture, and again just to reiterate that we have a 50% share of property network operations in Ireland and Spain through a joint venture with our largest shareholder. Trading in those businesses improved again this year compared to last year. And as a result, our share of the JV profits, and it's worth remembering that the first half is much quieter for those businesses in the second half, was an improvement of about $500,000. So from a loss of $400,000 last year to a profit of $0.1 million this year. And that came from growth in occupancy rates and revenue per available room, particularly in the Irish hotel market. And it's encouraging, as we said at the full year announcement, that the market for the Irish local assets has definitely improved quite significantly, particularly in the city centre in Dublin. In the last number of months, the joint venture entered into agreements with Taylor Wimpey to sell a parcel of development land at the Talis in Spain, and that is progressing according to plan. And what that shows is that that transaction is indicative of the joint venture strategy to realise value once as market conditions improve. And as well as that, the joint venture is considering the disposal of the Temple Bar Hotel in Dublin if an attractive offer can be obtained, and there will be a launch to that effect in the next couple of days. I'm going to pass you over to Cathal now for slides 11 to 13, and he's going to deal with the balance sheet and the part of it.
Thanks, Andrew. Slide number 11 looks at our asset allocation.
At the 30th of June, with comparable numbers on the 31st of December. Okay. Probably the principal move that took place in that six-month period is the reduction in sovereign bonds. Okay. And during the period, the return deposit rates of bank deposits exceeded the yield of the government bonds. So it doesn't make a lot of sense to be holding sovereign bonds. If you get more, the bank would have to term it. Therefore, we disposed of a number of our bonds and said, if you put the money on deposit, in place. The other significant movement during the period was the reduction in equities, where effectively we were realizing gains. Okay. The annualized return on our investment portfolio was 3% in the period, an excellent performance in a low-yield environment. Okay. And that return was delivered with a low-risk allocation. Okay, and all asset classes contributed to the performance. We remain with our tactical allocation to guard against volatility, and we believe that that continues to be appropriate in the current environment. We see our invested assets as being prudently managed, designed to protect customers and shareholders. Moving on then to slide number 12, the first thing to note is that we have a strong capital base, with a solvency level of 73.4% of net earned premium, up from 69.7% of June 2013. We have also excess capital over the Solvency II capital requirements, if Solvency II was to be implemented at this point. Our reserving ratio increased from 235% to 241%, and for the first time, on the bottom left-hand corner, we've shown a graphic of that reserving ratio over a period of time. Our net asset value per share has increased to 776 cents. Increased based on the figure of the 30th of June last year. Looking at it relative to the 31st of December 2013, in the top right-hand graphic, shows that profit increased because of retained earnings, reduced because of the dividend, and also because of IAS 19 and the retirement benefit obligation, and essentially the discount factor that is used in the calculation of the quantum of the retirement benefit obligations reduced during the period from 3.8% to 3.3%, and the impact of that net equity gain is a 7 million increase in the amount of our liability. Despite that, when we look at the bottom right hand chart on slide number 12, shows the evolution of our net asset value over a period of time. And I suppose that it is particularly good to see that net asset value on an annual basis continues to rise. Finally, I think to summarize the slide, we have a strong solvency level and robust reserves and a strong balance sheet position. Moving on to slide number 13 to deal with the interim dividend. The first thing I suppose on the left-hand side of the chart is to say there's actually no change in our dividend policy as it stands. We firmly believe that it's in the long-term interest of all stakeholders to retain a strong solvency and liquidity margin, and we are committed to a progressive dividend policy and efficient capital management. We retain a target of 40-50% operating payout ratio across the cycles, and we've been below that payout ratio for a number of years. It's likely that in the current year we'll be above that ratio, but still that 40-50% operating payout ratio is our target across the cycle. And the fact that we can go above it in years of lower profitability is reflective of the across the cycle concept. In relation to the 2014 interim dividend, we have decided to have an interim dividend of 17 cents, which is an increase of 8%. And the rationale for that, I suppose the first and the most important thing in the rationale for that is that the board is committed to a progressive dividend policy. So that meant the dividend was going to rise. The question was by how much, and the 8% reflects the company's robust financial position and the board's confidence in the capacity of the business model to deliver returns across the insurance cycle. I suppose finally, before I pass back to Andrew, just to say that we believe that at that level of dividend there is room for further increases in dividends in future years. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you very much, Carl. And just before moving to the outlook, I'm going to move to slide 14, which will talk about investments that we've been making over the last number of years, but that have been increasing in the last number of months and will be continuing to make over the next year or so. The left-hand side of the slide we've got included in previous presentations, and we just picked out two here which are about reorientating the way we do business to realign ourselves and the customer, which includes a better customer experience that I spoke about for customer experiences longer. But all of these things allow deepen and broaden the reach we have with existing customers and new customers as well. So we are making investments around technology and around people, but they will generate capacity, and really what they're going to do is make sure that we have our cost base or our resources aligned up as efficiently as they can be with the type of customers that we're dealing with. And also we're making a very substantial investment in new back office systems, which is a combination of a back office system, a business intelligence system, and a documentation system. And these are very, very, very substantial, and it will allow us change prices much faster. The customer will have a much better experience in terms of documentation and time taken to get through to people. It allows us to innovate on products much better, with better information on our customers, which will allow us to sell more to those customers based on what they want and policies they have or don't have. And I guess all of these, we have been making substantial investments over the last 3 or 4 years in times that have been difficult enough from the Irish economy, and we've seen on previous slides how the Irish insurance industry has reduced. And these investments we're making now are certainly going to place us very well in a time when as the economy recovers, and while the economic recovery may be a short-term headwind in terms of increased frequency, certainly it's going to provide us with plenty of opportunity in the future with the growing economy and the growing insurance industry for us to compete in. So just to move on to slide 15 and the outlook as contained in the interim results. First of all, on the operating environment side, as I said earlier, all of the economic indicators for Ireland point to an improved outlook. And the Irish insurance market, as I said, shrank a little bit in the first quarter, grew in the second quarter, and we believe it's likely to grow for the full year. And the rate of that growth will depend on exactly how fast and by how far the market chooses to increase rates to deliver an acceptable return, particularly on car insurance. And while the last number of months have been encouraging, I'd like to see that pattern continue. Increasing our economic activity at the same time will lead to higher claims frequency, and the profitability of the market we learned this year will continue to be challenged, because although rates have gone up, the market was historically has been underpriced, and insurers probably did not anticipate the scale of the frequency increases. So the effect of those rate increases in 2014 are probably more than likely to be offset by the upturn in frequency by the market. And the time and quantum of the improvement of profitability is going to depend on how frequency evolves in the future and any further rating actions the market takes. To move then to FPD, in the second half of the year, given to deal with the top line first, growth is more likely to come from rate than volume. And as I said, 60% of our growth in the first half came from rate and 40% from volume. And I think that balance is likely to shift more in favour of rate, particularly as a result of actions that we've taken on car insurance in quarter two and quarter three. And those actions will improve our loss ratio over time, but there will be a lag before those rate actions are effective, and that's going to impact profitability in 2014 and the early part of next year. There's no doubt whatsoever that the growth in economic activity that we're seeing is going to have a positive effect on FCA in the medium term, particularly given a track record of outperforming the market on both the top line and bottom line level over the last 5, 10, 15, 20 years. The group has developed the ability through investment to broaden our customer reach, and we're going to continue to focus, as well as broadening our customer reach, we're going to continue to deepen the customer reach we have with our final direct business customers. And the two of those combined will mean that we have a solid platform to grow into the future. And as a result, we expect to continue to outperform the market and deliver superior returns to our shareholders. In terms of the guidance for 2014, we are reaffirming our previous guidance of operating EPS of between 70 and 80 cents per share. Just in summary then, on slide 16, to talk about the insurance market first, as I pointed out earlier, the insurance market has faced profitability challenges in the last number of years and probably continues to face them. However, that is going to be, in the short term, hampered slightly by the fact that there are increases in car insurance claims frequency due to economic recovery. But the market has applied some rate increases to deal with this, but I think they're more required. And competitive dynamics are what are going to decide the speed and extent of the industry's recovery to profitability. FPD has a very strong track record, and I think that track record needs to be viewed in the context of the profitability the market has delivered. And that can be looked at over the last any period you want to think about, 3, 5, 10, 15, or 40 years. We have, over that 40 years, developed a very robust underwriting business with a strong core franchise that we built up, and we continue to focus on that strong core franchise. We have, as far as outlined, a strong capital base and balance sheet and a prudent and consistent reserving strategy. And we have currently a low-risk investment allocation, which is positioned to benefit from rising yields into the future. And as we go forward, we're going to continue to seek opportunities to grow sustainably and at the right time, both in our core franchise and areas that we've developed. We're going to continue to make investments around technology and around people to make sure that we can maximize that potential. I think that investments that not that many of our players in the market are making, and in the long term that's going to even improve our competitive advantage. And that will allow us to deliver superior returns to shareholders which eventually will allow us to move towards our target 40-50% dividend payout ratio across the cycle. So that is concluding the presentation. So I think if we can take questions first from the people in the room, and then we can move to those people who join us by the telephone. Emmett.
Hi guys, Emmett Gaffney, Investec here. Just a question on more recent trading since your last update in June, and in particular the trends you're seeing in motor claims frequency, the price increases, and the relationship between the two. Be great, thanks.
Okay, Emma, I suppose the ultimate answer to that is the fact that we have reiterated our guidance for the rest of the year. And with things like claims frequency, sometimes it takes a while. Our trading has been in line with the type of increase in frequency we would have expected to see when we were looking at it in June. Frequency does evolve. So if you look at the frequency charts we showed in there, are a 12-month rolling frequency. You know, so the frequency can be volatile, and we're still talking about, even in terms of motor injury claims, quite a small number of claims. So you can have spikes and troughs, and clearly only as you look at those developing over time. But certainly, we have seen nothing on that side to make it look like it has deteriorated from the assumptions that we've made. And we did assume deterioration, but we're not seeing anything to date, and we're looking at it very, very closely to suggest that it would have deteriorated further. On the rate side, we have increased our rates further again since our announcement in June. I think we increased them in July, and we increased them again in August. And we have begun to see our new business lines reduce, but probably not by as much as I think you would expect. And what has tended to happen every time we've made a rate increase is we've seen our volume reduce, but then as others have acted, we've seen our volume build back up. But certainly our new business volume for the second half on car insurance is lower. But on the other hand, the average rate that we're getting as a result is higher. So that's what leads us to believe that for the full year, that the mix between average premium and volume is more likely to be driven by rate.
Evan Hughes from Dublin. If I can just ask a question on the investment portfolio. The return in H1 was about 3 months, if I'm here, you can mention it in the statement. Just given where yields have gone over the last while, and I know it's kind of a long-term investment return, but we could be looking at presumably poorer returns in H2 on the whole portfolio.
I think that's fair, and I guess we have for some time we have had a line saying that we are positioned to benefit from when yields improve, and every time you look at it, and even since the half year, yields have gone down even further. But I suppose if you compare our investment return for the first 6 months to the investment return of some of the peers throughout Europe that have reported, they probably have investment return somewhere between 2.5% or so. But most of those are probably coming from increases in the value of the bonds that they're investing, even though they're reasonably short, which means that they will unwind once bond yields do go back up. But in terms of our own second half, I think that, so that means our 3% is more locked in than theirs, but I think that I would anticipate for the second half that our investment return will be lower, and I think they're probably looking at something 2.2-2.3% for the full year.
Thank you. Hi, Kieran Callahan from Marine. Can I ask two questions, please, Al? One on solvency, two. Given the sort of recent developments there, are you becoming a bit more comfortable with the new rules? And secondly, just on the potential disposal of your Temple Bar Hotel, do you expect that to be now decreased?
Okay, thanks, Kieran. Thanks very much, Kieran. And if I can just take those in turn. In terms of solvency, I think we are becoming more comfortable. I think there are possible changes coming through all the time, but certainly, there have been a number of changes probably over the last year or 18 months, and I would expect the rate of change or the degree of uncertainty to reduce between now and where we're coming from. So I think we are probably getting more comfortable that the rules, as will be set, will be fine. Okay. In terms of the sale of the Temple Bar Hotel, as I said, we at the joint venture is considering selling the Temple Bar Hotel subject to an attractive market price. I think it's important to say that, you know, that is one asset. Okay. So our NAV for the joint venture, I think, is about 45 million. So it is unlikely to, you know, there is unlikely to be a very big difference in that as a result of the sale of Temple Bar, I think.
Good morning, Andrew. Eamon Shanigan, Shore Capital. Just two questions, if I may. Firstly, how easy, so the map that you showed in terms of exposure is very helpful. How easy is it to put rate increases through on that household book, you know, i.e. the farms and the outbuildings? And then secondly, if you could just talk through potential implications for your reinsurance programs in terms of cost and cover going into 2015, because obviously there's the difference in the impact between the storm and the persistent weather. Thanks.
Okay, thanks very much, Eamon. Well, the heat map there, it shows most of the damage is not actually to the household risk on the farm, it's to the storm, it's to the outbuilding. Okay, but even though there is household damage in there as well, we are not proposing to put very substantial rate increases through. Given that, you know, windstorm is really one of the things that we're covering our customers for, and we haven't had a decent windstorm since 1997. So we have, you know, we even have some any customers, any farm policy customers will know, we have put some small increases through the home insurance part of our farm policy, but it's probably in the region of 5% translating to 2 or 3% increase. We will definitely, and I guess, you know, as underwriters, you know, you gain your experience by incurring losses, and there's no doubt that from the storm we will identify perhaps buildings where, you know, the cover amount should be higher, so that there's a revenue opportunity, or there will certainly be some risks, not many, but there will be some risks that perhaps we shouldn't insure at all for storm because of the nature of use, you know, because some buildings will have fallen out of use depending on the nature of the farming activity that's happening, so buildings that previously had use are now not in use anymore, so we shouldn't be covering for storms. So there is learning about that, but in terms of actual rate actions, we are not proposing to put through very substantial increases in rates because of it. In terms of our impact on our reinsurance program, we have made, you know, we had three very benign years in 11, 12, and 13, and that resulted in a reduction in our property insurance costs in the current year of 2014. And I guess we will look at our reinsurance program to see is there anything to we can learn in terms of mitigating risk further arising from this event. But in terms of what we will be charged, I think that will be a function of not only how we have fared ourselves, but how our reinsurers have fared otherwise. So I'm not anticipating that it will have a very big impact on our reinsurance costs. You know, I don't think this is going to be a game changer in terms of what our reinsurance is going to charge.
Andrew, maybe I could just come in there just to add one other point, which is that the total cost of the two weather events is 15.3 million, and if you split it between the two, 7.8 for the storm Darwin and 7.5 for the persistence. And they're very, very different, because the persistent weather was made up of 7 windstorms. But no one of those windstorms was an event. So we a catastrophe event from a reinsurance perspective. So there was no catastrophe case in that persistent weather, whereas in Darwin was. So the reinsurance implications are quite different. Because one didn't affect the catastrophe policy at all, but the other didn't affect it.
In fact, it didn't even affect the surface policy very much, because most of it was to our account, because of the nature of the risk that were, you know, the sums insured that were impacted by the loss. Okay, do we have any other questions in the room before we move to speak on the telephone line?
Stephen, I'm from JV. You've given premiums by class. Can you give any insight into the cores by class? Is motor the standout one that's really loss-making? what are the other classes like?
Well, Beamer, unfortunately, given the weather, the property class doesn't suit Beamer's either, okay? So, you know, so our farm insurance policy, last week it would be significantly worse this year than it has been in many, many years. But I guess that's the nature of what we do. Certainly, in terms of what's informed the attrition loss ratio, I think that the combined operating ratio in car is probably, is the standard one, I think, would be fair to say. So, for example, our combined operating ratio in car is probably somewhere for the last 3 years around 100%, where the industry is at 112%. And our concentrated rate is further since then, and the actions that we're taking around rate and selection, etc., are what we've been looking to immediate example. Okay, is it okay then if I move perhaps to those on the phone? And we've a couple of analysts on the phone as well as shareholders and others. So is there anyone on the telephone line who would like to ask a question?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, for an audio question, please key star 1 on your telephone. I repeat, for an audio question, please key star 1 on your telephone.
Okay, well, I take that as a sign that there's no questions on the telephone. So I think that concludes this morning's presentation. I'd like to thank you all for joining me both here in the room and on the telephone. And I'd like to thank you for your support and the role you played in informing our shareholders. So thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes your call for today. You may now disconnect.